one of the strongest storms on record. Hurricane Melissa carved a destructive path across Jamaica last night, bringing wind speeds in excess of around 200 kilometres per hour and overloading the country with rainfall. The full scale of the damage won't be known until later on today when emergency teams carry out a daylight assessment. But at least one parish, St. Elizabeth, was said to be underwater, and damage has been done to hospitals, homes, schools and commercial buildings. The Prime Minister, Andrew Holness, declared the country a disaster area, and the government renewed a trade order to prevent price gouging in the aftermath of the storm. Richard Vernon, the mayor of the Jamaican city Montego Bay, said the true extent of the damage will be known by daylight.
We are experiencing a situation where one side of the city is now cut off from the other due to roads being inundated by floodwaters. So we are waiting on that to recede. Persons were significantly threatened by rising waters coming from one of our major rivers. And we got reports recently that the water is receding in that particular area. And we are waiting to get more updates where that is concerned. And a matter of fact, we have our response team underground, but we will have much more information as soon as we are up and about.
That's the mayor of Montego Bay, Richard Vernon. Relief efforts are already underway across Jamaica, and as the Caribbean storm Melissa continues to devastate the area, it has just made landfall in Cuba in the last hour. One aid group on the ground in Jamaica is UNICEF, which is currently providing support to families there. Last night, our reporter Barry Gallagher spoke to Olga Iseza, UNICEF Jamaica's representative in Kingston.
I am in Kingston now, in the capital, and we are facing heavy rain and strong winds around. But it's far away from the conditions children and families are facing in the specific area in which the hurricane hit. We have been developing different models to identify the specific communities in which the speed of the wind and the amount of water, the amount of rain, has been so much, and how many children are affected there. And we have many. I mean, our initial thoughts are that 250,000 children are severely affected in the country. And of course, we will verify when we are able to be there. We have been providing some support since last week, but now we have to wait until the all clear is set, and we will be there in the shelters. As you know, 800 schools become shelters. So we need to go there and to see what is happening. We know that many families are there in this moment. And of course, the level of suffer and needs are huge.
And what relief and aid efforts are currently underway as the storm passes over Jamaica?
We have concentrated ourselves in different items related with water, sanitation and hygiene. Those are the main concern in this moment. Of course, food for children is a critical item, and we are waiting to see what are the conditions and how we can deploy all those things. The good thing is that we have many partners on the field, and we will be able to immediately, the conditions allow us, start deploying these kind of things.
That was Olga Iseza, UNICEF Jamaica representative in Kingston, speaking to our reporter Barry Gallagher. And let's go to Kingston, Jamaica now, and we can speak with Nick Davis of the BBC. Nick, thank you very much for taking our call. Can you describe what you witnessed over the last number of hours as that hurricane ripped through Jamaica?
I have to say that we're quite blessed on this side of the island that because the storm moved more westward, we really didn't suffer anything. We had a few power cuts, a few shortages as the sort of power sort of phased in and out. But that was it. On the other side of the island, I've been contacting friends and family. Just for a bit of context, my parents are Jamaican and I've lived in the country for just shy of 20 years. So, you know, I have my people. And it's been just so difficult trying to make contact with them. So social media has sent pictures, you know, of streets turning into rivers, of rural communities just becoming almost like deep paddy fields. It is just unbelievable how much damage has been sort of brought to bear on this small Caribbean island. I've been trying to get in contact with friends when I have managed to reach them. Some of them have told me of, frankly, tales of survival, you know, literally having to keep the doors closed against 180 mile an hour winds, giving up and having to hide in cupboards, flooded cupboards, to basically make sure that they survived. This is going to be a really difficult disaster for this country to overcome for many, many reasons.
And what are conditions like there at the moment, Nick? I mean, the winds will obviously have died down as the storm moves on, but there was significant amount of rainfall last night, and is that continuing?
Yes, that's right. Especially on that western side, and some of the east as well. We're still seeing continued rain, which is still going to be adding to the flooding conditions. On top of that, Jamaica's about 80% mountains. It's about 8% mountainous. And because of that, landslides are going to be a really big issue. Rockfalls, they're going to impede the attempts to be able to get into some of these communities, which are isolated not only by water, isolated by trees which have fallen, by power lines which have come down, but also by the fact that they're now without power. They're now without mobile phone signal. So there's no way to be able to call for help. It's going to really take aerial aircraft surveillance to be able to really get into some of these communities, motorbikes, that sort of thing.
And tell us what's going to be happening over the next couple of hours now as the emergency services try to assess the damage and try to help those who are in most at need.
Part of the problem with Jamaica is it's very hill and gully. So it's up and down and up and down. And so because of that, the police have had to be deployed, the army, fire brigade. So they're going out into some of those communities to try and get to people. All of that will come into a centralized organization called ODPEM, which is the Office of Disaster Preparedness. And they will kickstart where the facilities need to go. Obviously, really important is the roadways, electricity, and also even basic things like telecoms. We need to be able to communicate with people, even the actual rescuers themselves, because the lines have been compromised. It's meant that they're now having to put in place literally deals with Starlink, with Elon Musk's company, to be able to give backup, to be able to provide emergency communications for the people who need it most.
There's likely to be a significant number of people who are displaced because of this storm, Nick, perhaps unable to return to their homes because of the damage that's been done. What has the mood been like among the people that you've spoken to over the past number of hours about how have they dealt with it, the people on the ground?
You know, if there's one way to describe Jamaicans, it's resilient, I think. And you know, I've spoken to people whose hotelier, whose business was leveled. And I was like, listen, I'm here for the hard work to get it back on its feet. And he was like, we will rebuild. My friends who, as I said, you know, barely managed to keep the roof on their house were saying, you know what, we're alive. I think Jamaicans are very pragmatic in that way. But as I said previously, I in many respects, I think it's the shock of what we've gone through here in Jamaica, but it's also the future. You know, there's no social safety net in Jamaica, so the loss of livelihood, especially in the farming and rural communities, is going to be felt for a very, very long time to come.
And I know they're having international offers of help for Jamaica. The airports were closed during the storm. Are they going to reopen now to allow that aid to get into the country and to be delivered to where it might be needed?
Yeah, because Kingston wasn't so badly hit, Norman Manley International Airport, which is just on the edge of the city itself, they're doing some checks. The sort of preliminary investigations seem to show that it's not been that badly hit. There was a concern about storm surge, that never actually came about to the level expected. But Montego Bay, the main tourist area, that is proven very problematic. Part of the roof was compromised. There's been video of people walking literally through flood water at the airport. There's concerns about maybe fuel contamination as well. So that may take further time to sort of get in place. But we're expecting some of those relief flights to touch down here in Jamaica by the end of the day.
Nick, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. We do appreciate your time. That's Nick Davis of the BBC speaking to us from Kingston in Jamaica.